It's nearly noon and time for the KMXT Midday News. Thank you for listening to KMXT on 100.1 FM. It's your public radio station, broadcasting from atop Borough Hill, overlooking downtown Kodiak, where it's 44 degrees right now. They're calling for mostly sunny skies. It looks like partially overcast. Mostly cloudy skies tonight. A low about 36 overnight tonight. Coming up on the Midday News, Kodiak COVID cases drop in terms of active cases. Alaska's number of cases hits new records. The Anchorage mayor is announcing new masking rules. And an award for an Old Harbor educator. All that and more right after national headline news.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. President Trump has fired Defense Secretary Mark Esper. In a tweet, Trump announced that he was replacing him with the director of the National Counterterrorism Center, Christopher Miller. NPR's Tom Bowman reports Trump said Esper's termination is effective immediately and thanked him for his service.
Sources say Esper already had a resignation letter ready to go because Trump threatened to fire him in June. Over a disagreement about using active duty troops to quell street protests, Esper is a former Army secretary and Raytheon executive who took over the job in July of last year from retired Marine General Jim Mattis after Mattis abruptly resigned over efforts by Trump to quickly reduce troops in Syria. Esper received mixed reviews. He earned the derogatory title Yesper for staying silent or acquiescing with Trump's more controversial defense moves, like sharp troop reductions in Afghanistan and Germany. Supporters say he moved ahead with a new defense strategy on China and Russia and pushed for more modern weaponry. Tom Bowman, NPR News.
The United States has surpassed 10 million cases of the coronavirus, marking another grim milestone in the pandemic. NPR's Nareed Eisenman reports the worldwide total of confirmed infections has topped 50 million.
Since April, the U.S. has consistently led the world in total reported coronavirus infections. Only India and the countries of the European Union taken as a whole even come close. Also, the U.S. has reached 10 million cases at a particularly worrying moment. New reported cases have been on a steep rise in many U.S. states since mid-September. And on Saturday, the nationwide new case count broke yet another record, with 126,742 people reported infected that day. Among the states, Illinois currently has the highest number of daily new infections, followed by Texas, Wisconsin, California, and Florida. But when new infections are considered as a share of population, the worst-off states are North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, Wisconsin, and Nebraska. Nareed Eisenman, NPR News.
President-elect Joe Biden is laying out the blueprint for his plan to fight the coronavirus pandemic as he prepares to take office in January. Speaking in Wilmington, Delaware today, Biden praised the news about a promising development of an effective vaccine, but warned Americans to keep abiding by social distancing guidelines and other safety measures.
It's time to end the politicization of basic, responsible public health steps like mask wearing and social distancing. We have to come together to heal the soul of this country so that we can effectively address this crisis as one country where hardworking Americans have each other's backs.
Biden also announced the formation of a coronavirus advisory board that will be tasked with developing a plan to combat the pandemic. This is NPR News.
NPR News is presentada a usted en parte por la Providence Kodiak Island Centro de Asesoramiento. Para una cita o más información, por favor, llama al 907-481-2400.
As cases rise across the country, Kodiak has experienced a reduction in active COVID-19 cases over the weekend as several residents completed their isolation period, according to the Kodiak Area Emergency Services Organization. Three new cases were reported for the Kodiak Island Borough. One is a Kodiak resident and close contact of the previous case, and two are close contacts of this new case. contact tracing is underway. These three new cases raise the total case count to 144 cases in the Kodiak Island borough since the beginning of the pandemic. Active cases dropped to 22 as 15 individuals completed their isolation period. Last Friday, there were 34 active cases, according to the Kodiak Area Emergency Services Organization. Alaska's number of coronavirus cases hit new records over the weekend, with more than 1,100 cases recorded in the state on Saturday and Sunday. Saturday's count set the single-day record of the pandemic, as the state reported 604 cases, nearly all of whom are residents. This week marks the sixth week of increasing case counts in the state. Other trends, like the positivity rate and the number of hospitalizations, are also worsening. State Health Department models show that cases could contribute to double every 2.5 weeks. No new deaths were reported over the weekend, though many health experts fear that as cases begin to spread to older age groups, deaths could start to rise substantially. Currently, most cases are still being reported in younger age groups. Acting Anchorage Mayor Austin Quinn Davidson announced Friday the city will be expanding masking rules and restrict gathering sizes to combat the recent record-breaking surge in COVID-19 cases. The new rules go into place on Monday morning, along with new enforcement efforts. Alaska Public Media's Kavitha George has this report.
The first change is an update to the city's existing mask order, removing most exceptions to the requirement, which the administration says will make it easier to enforce. Individuals who can't wear masks for medical reasons or disability are required to wear face shields instead. Children over 5 will now be included in the mask order as well, along with people exercising indoors. A second change further restricts gathering sizes. Indoor gatherings will be limited to 10 people if there is food and drink, 15 people if there is no food and drink. Outdoor gatherings with food and drink are limited to 20 people, 30 people without. Quinn Davidson says the city is hiring 3 new code enforcement officers to bolster compliance with the mandates.
We are enforcing, and we're definitely responding to all the complaints we get. Beyond that, though, we want to be able to do some spot checks and to be able to be proactive and not just respond to complaints.
Places of worship or political expression, restaurants, theaters, and bingo halls are still limited to 50% capacity. Chris Anderson, president of Glacier Brewhouse downtown, says the emergency order should be just like any other regulation that businesses comply with.
We have health regulations. We have liquor regulations. We have building code regulations where we have checks. We have tons of these regulations. And now we have an emergency order, which is similar. I think it's time to enforce, because what we're all trying to do is stay in business and have a healthy community.
Last week, the city issued a warning to residents to take masking and social distancing seriously, as the 14-day case average had risen to 40 per 100,000, well above the state's cutoff for high risk, which is 10 per 100,000. This week, the 14-day average rose further to 60 per 100,000. Quinn Davidson says that threatens to overwhelm the city's hospital capacity.
If that happens, it's not just COVID-19 patients that wouldn't receive care. Anyone in our community could be turned away.
Quinn Davidson emphasizes that the mandates are meant to minimize residents' exposure to COVID-19 while keeping the economy afloat.
Every one of us have a choice whether we want to follow these health mandates or not. And the choice we each make will determine whether we save lives and keep businesses open or we don't.
Under the new mandate, capacity at public and private schools is limited to 50%. The municipality and Anchorage School District said they worked together on the restriction. And the district says it will not impede its current plan to bring younger students back into buildings on November 16th. Quinn Davidson added that if the community doesn't see a sufficient rise in case numbers within a few weeks, Anchorage is headed for significant restrictions. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Kavitha George.
On just about any school day, if you went to Old Harbor on the southeast side of Kodiak Island, you'd see that Phyllis Clough wears a lot of hats. As the Old Harbor school secretary, she answers the phones and answers parents' questions, offers a steady stream of encouragement to the children. You'll also find her in the cafeteria cooking lunch for the students, and during quiet times, the younger ones huddle around her desk to practice reading out loud. Now Phyllis has a new hat to wear. The Alaska chapter of the National Education Association has named her their Education Support Professional of the Year.
I'm overwhelmed and honored even to be recognized because I feel there's so many other paraprofessionals and support personnel that deserve this more than me.
Phyllis Clough has worked for the Kodiak Island Borough School District for 40 years. The superintendent of the district, Larry Ledoux, says he's known her for much of that time.
If there were more Phyllis Cloughs in the world, it would be an incredible place to live and be throughout the world. She is just a wonderful, wonderful person.
Ledoux says Phyllis Clough has taught him more about the island's Alaska Native heritage and Aleutic culture than anyone.
She's one of the finest educators that I've ever worked with in my entire career. She's a standard bearer for the grace of her culture, her knowledge, her wisdom. She applies her knowledge to everyday events.
Like many rural schools, Old Harbor has had many teachers come and go over the years, and Peggy Azuyak was one of those. Today, she's the director of rural schools for the district, but when she first arrived in Old Harbor, she had just graduated from college.
She makes sure everybody's fed, so she made sure I had food every day. She would pick me up and take me to the school and pick me up and take me down to the church with her and her mother. She just wants people to feel included and welcome, and might be a culture shock for some who are not from Kodiak Island, but she rolls out that welcome mat, a little part of home, and I think that has gone a long way.
Phyllis Clough is perhaps best known for her pierogi, her layered Russian fish pie. She says the secret ingredient in that is love, and the same thing is true about education.
When you're at a job that you love, everything you do is fun. I love being here with the parents when they call. I love being here for the kids when they come to get help. And then also the cooking to nourish them. Everything I do here, I love.
As the winner of the NEA's Educational Support Person Award, her name will be submitted in the national contest. But Phyllis Clough says there's no award like seeing children grow up, graduate, and go on to live happy lives. While some Alaskans celebrated the election of Joe Biden as president, others say they support President Donald Trump's legal challenges to the vote counts. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman report on a small protest in front of the state capitol in Juneau on Saturday in support of Trump that drew some pro-Biden onlookers.
The news that Joe Biden had won the presidential election broke in Alaska early on Saturday morning. It was a clear and sunny day in Juneau after a week of snow and rain and wind. At noon, Trump supporters met on the steps of the state capitol. Local cook Howard Scholl was watching the protest. He says he's happy with the election outcome.
I never liked Trump to begin with. I mean, he's in my opinion, a racist, sexist, homophobic, but I'm also from Delaware, and I like Joe Biden.
He says he used to work in Delaware, and he once met then U.S. Senator Biden. Scholl is in a minority of the Alaska voters whose ballots had been counted so far. With a little over half of the votes tallied, Trump has a big lead. Counting will resume on Tuesday. The protesters claim that election misconduct led to Biden's win. Scholl says he hasn't heard anything that would support those claims. Scholl's co-worker and fellow Juneau resident Leo Ellis also watched the protest.
I mean, I'm very happy. It's been a long 4 years, and I'm glad that this country is ready for a change.
Juneau's protest was relatively quiet, with Trump supporters chatting among themselves and with passersby on 4th Street. The protesters waved flags in support of the president. Lisa Idell Sassy is a state worker who was one of 10 people who joined the protest.
We're just really baffled as to why Biden won. We saw the votes coming in the night of the 3rd, and he was definitely in the lead. And then all of a sudden the next day, all these mystery ballots came in for all the states that I'm sure you're aware of. And we think the election has become a sham. We think the Democrats are stealing the election.
Idel Sassy expresses hope that Trump will be successful in various lawsuits challenging thousands of ballots. She and other protesters say that there was evidence that dead people had voted and that all of the ballots in some places that were counted later in the week were for Biden. Neither of these claims have received support in court, and through Sunday, no evidence had emerged that put the election's outcome in question. Patty Morgan, a local swim teacher, says her opposition to abortion led to her vote for Trump.
And I honestly believe it's a good versus evil. And I am pro-life, and Trump is our most pro-life president ever.
She says she was considering turning off Fox News for good after the network declared Biden the winner.
I will stand with Trump, and I think this isn't over.
She says she doesn't think Trump will accept the outcome if he doesn't win in court. And she says that if that's the case, she won't accept it either. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
Much of the state got the first real taste of winter weather over the weekend. Heavy snow in Fairbanks made for hazardous driving. The Kenai Peninsula and Matanuska Valley saw gusty winds and blowing snow, and residents in villages along the Bering and Chukchi seacoasts waited out high winds and angry seas. Emily Schwing has more.
Kivalina sits on a tiny barrier island along the Chukchi Sea coast, 80 miles north of the Arctic Circle. Over the weekend, residents there saw winds regularly gusting to 30 and up to 50 miles per hour. With no shore-fast sea ice yet formed to protect the coastline, every storm that pummels Kivalina's west-facing beach this time of year could be the island's last. Climate change-driven sea level rise and coastal erosion may eventually wash the island away entirely.
Well, I've been documenting because it was pretty, the storm surge was pretty bad and the water was very high.
Janet Mitchell spent much of her weekend collecting footage of the storm. A series of short video clips show fierce waves slamming against a rock revetment that was built a decade ago by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in order to protect the island. Mitchell says this was the first storm where she's felt a little safer. Construction of an evacuation road that will eventually lead to a new school on the mainland wrapped up this fall.
And we have access to higher ground. However, we don't have anything to go to. We would have to pitch tents or and whatnot.
On Sunday, skies cleared briefly over Kivalina. The weather forecast for the coming week calls for heavy snow and winds gusting to at least 25 miles per hour. For Alaska Public Media, I'm Emily Schwing.
The Anchorage School District will no longer resume in-person learning for younger and higher needs special education students next week. The district announced Sunday night that it had indefinitely postponed the start of in-person school because of the increasing spread of the coronavirus and rising demands on the city's health care system. The indefinite delay comes as Anchorage records record high numbers of coronavirus cases and as the city tightens restrictions to get a handle on the spread of infections. The district had also faced criticism for its decision to bring thousands of students back into school buildings, given the worsening state of the pandemic. In an email to school district employees and families on Sunday, Superintendent Dina Bishop described the decision to delay in-person learning as heartbreaking. She asked people to wear masks, wash their hands, and follow state and local health mandates to help get students back into classrooms. Governor Mike Dunleavy announced a new COVID-19 disaster declaration on Friday, 9 days before the declaration he issued in March was set to expire. The new declaration will start on November 16th and will last 30 days.
Given the rise in cases and given the uncertainty over the next 2 to 3 months, I'm asking, and I will, extend this declaration.
Hospital executives urgently called for an extension of the declaration in a news conference earlier on Friday. They said that the declaration makes it possible for federal hospital rules to be waived, allowing them to respond to the pandemic. Anchorage Republican Senate President Kathy Geisel and House Speaker Bryce Edgman, a Dillingham independent, had asked the governor to call the legislature into special session to extend the disaster declaration. Dunleavy said he would work with the legislature on whether to hold a special session that would extend the declaration longer. The governor also urged Alaskans to change their behavior, including asking businesses to require wearing masks to slow the recent rapid growth of the disease in the state. Dunleavy said if Alaskans don't change their behavior and case rates remain high, hospitals would be overwhelmed. He listed other consequences.
That our hospital workers will get sick. Not may, they will. Some are now. That our military will get sick. They are now. That our police will get sick. Not saying this to scare you. I just want us all to just work together a little bit, readjust how we do things, so we can get through the next 2 months.
He expressed hope that a vaccine would be available in 2 to 3 months. Other examples of behavior changes he urged, including asking people not to gather in groups of more than 20 in indoor spaces. But while he believes masks are effective, he said he rejected calls from the medical community for a statewide mask mandate. He noted that some states with mask mandates, like Illinois, continue to experience widespread transmission of the virus. 6 hospital CEOs asked for the declaration to be extended. Dan Winkleman, CEO of the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation, was among them.
With rates this high, if we do not break the cycle of transmission, we have modeling that indicates from Dr. Tom Hennessy at the University of Alaska Anchorage that we will overrun our healthcare capacity before the end of November.
Winkleman said the current COVID-19 surge is like an earthquake that's already happened, and the YK region knows a tsunami is coming. He said implementing public health strategies now will reduce the size of the wave.
KMXT Local News is underwritten in part by
GCI. GCI has adjusted store hours across the state to keep our customers and employees as safe as possible during this time. The most up-to-date store hours are available on GCI.com.
And by Artinger's Fine Furnishings, proud to offer a variety of sofas and love seats made in Oregon by Stanton, as well as massage and zero-gravity chairs by Human Touch. Find the fabric and style that fits your lifestyle in the store or by special order. Also featuring inviting rugs, lamps, and accessories for your home at Artinger's, 486-5554.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Keys to the Gulf Cod Crash. More after this.
The Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute provides digital and print marketing materials to the Alaska seafood industry. Find thousands of stunning photos, video footage, and sales tools at alaskaseafood.org.
Warmer temperatures on the ocean bottom were key in causing the cod crash in the Gulf of Alaska. That's the conclusion of a NOAA fisheries study that connected low numbers of cod of all ages to loss of spawning grounds in the 2013 to 2016 heat wave called the Blob, the largest warm water event ever recorded in the North Pacific. Pacific cod are unique among all cod species because they only spawn once in a season and have eggs that adhere to the ocean floor. But the eggs have a very narrow temperature range for hatch success. And during the heat wave, Gulf of Alaska waters reached nearly 61 degrees compared to a norm closer to 50 degrees. Right after that, they saw no first-year cod. Lead researcher Ben Laurel collected tiny cod from nearshore waters around Kodiak in 2018 to bring back to the Alaska Fisheries Science Center in Newport, Oregon. They've followed the fish since to see how they're recovering from blob effects. Laurel said in a previous interview that things might be taking a turn for the better.
2017, the ocean temperatures started to get back to normal, and we did see a sign of some fish, which was good because we hadn't seen fish earlier than that.
The research is providing a window into how Alaska cod will fare in a changing climate.
So it's sort of a dress rehearsal, I think, for things to come. And it's encouraging that we had responsive action to this really drastic reduction in the population. I'm encouraged by that, but I'm also tentatively nervous about what's in line for the future. So I think everybody should be braced for that uncertainty.
Find links contacts at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods, serving Alaska's fishing communities since 1910. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Monday. It is the ninth day of November, the year 2020. The sun rose today at 8:41. It won't set again until 5:06 p.m., giving us 8 hours and 20 minutes of precious daylight, a loss of 4 minutes and 23 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high was 53 degrees. That was set in 1993, and our record low was 8, set in 1975. Currently 44 degrees here in Kodiak. Mostly sunny, they're saying, although it looks like more like the mostly cloudy skies that they're calling for tonight. Low around 36 tonight, and rain tomorrow, mainly after 3 p.m. High near 45 tomorrow. Southeast winds will turn to the southwest tomorrow afternoon and could gust as high as 20 miles per hour. For Wednesday, Veterans Day, look for scattered showers, mostly cloudy skies, a high near 46, south wind to 20 miles per hour with gusts as high as 30. Let's see, looking at our local district tides, we have a low tide coming up at 2:30 of 3.8 feet on the east side in Kodiak. A high tide coming up at 8:21 p.m. this evening of 7.1 feet, and a low tide in the middle of the night here on the east side at 3:06 a.m., 1.1 feet, and our high tide for tomorrow morning will be at 9:56 a.m., 7.4 feet on the east side. Over on the west side, and these are Uganic Pass tides, you have a low tide coming up at 3:23 p.m. That will be a 5.7 foot tide, followed by a high tide at 9:09 p.m., of 11.6 feet. Your low tide for the middle of the night will be at 3:48 a.m. of 2.5 feet, and your high tide on the west side for tomorrow morning will be at 10:22 a.m. of 13.2 feet. Mariners, here is your synopsis for the North Gulf Coast, including Kodiak Island waters and Cook Inlet. A 994 millibar low, 40 nautical miles south of Cape Suckling, will move into the eastern Gulf on Monday afternoon. A front will approach the western Gulf Tuesday afternoon and move into the northern Gulf Wednesday morning. Your resulting weather, gale warnings. From Marmot Island to Sitkanak, Kodiak's east side offshore, we have a gale warning today. West wind to 35 knots right now, should diminish to 25 knots this afternoon, seas to 14 feet. For tomorrow, look for south winds to 30 knots and seas to 8 feet. Over on the west side in the Shelikof Strait, small craft advisory through Tuesday, west wind to 25 knots right now and seas to 5 feet. For tomorrow, look for southwest winds to 25 knots, seas to 9 feet, subsiding to 5 feet tomorrow afternoon in the Shelikof. For Chiniak and Marmot Bays, we have gale warnings for both today. Chiniak Bay, west wind to 35 knots right now, should diminish to 15 knots this afternoon, seas to 4 feet, coming down to 2 feet this afternoon. For tomorrow, look for south winds at 20 knots and seas to 3 feet in Chiniak Bay. Up in Marmot Bay, a gale warning today. West wind to 35 knots, should diminish to 25 knots this afternoon. For tomorrow, look for variable winds of less than 10 knots in Marmot Bay, becoming southeast 20 tomorrow afternoon. Seas building to 4 feet tomorrow afternoon in Marmot Bay. The Fisheries Assistance Plan is available for second round of public comment. Go to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game web page to do so. That's the Alaska Department of Fish and Game website for commenting on the Fisheries Assistance Spend Plan for the CARES Act funding. The Assembly is having a special meeting tonight at 4:30 p.m. in the Assembly Chambers. This meeting was called by the Mayor and the Assembly. Agenda items include reconsideration of the vote taken on Ordinance Number 2021, an ordinance to the Assembly amending Ordinance Number 2021 to account for Federal CARES Act funding, revenues that are over budget, providing for additional expenditures and moving funds between projects, and also number two, the solid waste contract. Again, that's happening at 4:30 p.m. in the Assembly Chambers tonight. Other meetings happening are the Consolidation Committee tonight. That's happening at 6:30 p.m. in the Borough Assembly Chambers. Hopefully they do not conflict. The Women's Bay Service Area Board is happening November 10th. That's tomorrow in the Women's Bay Fire Hall at 5:30 p.m. And the Planning and Zoning Commission work session is happening in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. tomorrow.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT two times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.